Good morning to everyone. It's good to see you here, and we are glad that we can be together again to give our worship and praise unto our Lord. I want to share a lesson with us today that I've entitled, You Don't Want to Miss Heaven. I'm sure that in our lives there are events that we think about, that come up, that we have the attitude toward, I just don't want to miss that. Maybe there's a wedding of a family member or a graduation. Maybe there's the birth of a child. If you're a car person, maybe it's the auto show. And if you are a football fan, well, I kind of heard that there might be a game next Saturday. Some people might have the attitude, you know, I just don't want to miss it. Well, folks, that's all good and well. But I hope, above all things, that our attitude, first and foremost, is, I don't want to miss heaven. All those other things, if I miss them, well, I may not be better because of it, but I can maybe make up for those things. Maybe there'll be other opportunities. But that's not the way it is with heaven. If I miss heaven, I've missed everything. And so what I want to do today is I want to talk about three things in particular that can cause us to lose our souls. Now, certainly I know there are other things that we need to be mindful of. But certainly these three need to serve as a warning to us, because so many people have lost their souls and will lose their souls because of these three things. And so I want us to talk about them for a little bit. I want us to notice what the scriptures have to say. And I want all of us to heed the warning, because I don't want any of us to miss heaven. Those three things that you see up on our wall there are people and possessions and priorities. Now, I know that you can fill out your paper just like that, but I hope that you'll stay with me throughout the lesson and that you'll continue to take notes as we study together from God's Word. So let's talk about these three things that can cause us to miss heaven, three things that can cost us our very souls. And the first that we'll mention are people. People, if we're not careful, can cause us to miss heaven, cause us to lose our souls. And that happens when our allegiance to those people becomes greater than our desire to serve the Lord. When we follow after people, or when we allow other people to lead us away from the Lord and His church. Young people, this is why your parents and grandparents are so concerned about the friends that you have. They know that those friends have a great influence upon you. When we get into those teenage years, and that's one advantage that parents have over their teenagers. We've been teenagers. Our children don't believe it, but we were at one time. We know what that pull is like. And if we do not choose good friends, there's the danger of them pulling us away from the Lord. In the book of Proverbs, in chapter 1, you begin reading at verse 10, and you find the writer there speaking as if he is speaking unto one of his children, his son. These proverbs are given to give the young wisdom, to give them discretion. And so he talks to his son in verses 1 through 18. And he says, "My son, if sinners entice thee, consent thou not." Don't go with them. Be careful about the companions that you choose. If they say, "Come with us," Let us lay wait for blood. Let us look privily for the innocent without cause. Let us swallow them up alive as the grave and whole as those that go down into the pit. We shall find all precious substance. We shall fill our houses with spoil. Cast in your lot among us. Let us all have one purse. They're trying to get you to do things you know are not right. He says, my son, walk not thou in the way with them. Don't go after them. Refrain thy foot from their path, for their feet run to evil and make haste to shed blood. Surely in vain the net is spread in the side of any bird. Now watch it, verse 18. And they lay wait for their own blood. They lurk privily for their own lives. They don't realize it. But the way that they're going is the way that is leading to doom, to ruin. They can't see it. They think they can do what they want and there's no consequences. Life doesn't work that way. And so the wise man says, my son, be careful about the friends that you choose. Don't let them lead you in a way that is away from God. In 2 Corinthians chapter 6 and verse 14, there's a warning that's given to every Christian. Paul writes and says, be not unequally yoked together with unbelievers. For what fellowship hath righteousness with unrighteousness? And what communion hath light with darkness? This idea of being unequally yoked carries with it the idea of being in an agreement, an arrangement, a friendship where the Christian is being pulled away from the Lord. That's an unequal yoking. You put two animals together and one is much stronger than the other. That weaker one, it doesn't get to decide which way it's going to go. It's going to be drug along the way the stronger one wants to go. And he's saying, Christian, don't you make those kind of arrangements. Don't you get into those kind of relationships where you are being pulled in a direction you know you're not supposed to be going. Be not unequally yoked with unbelievers. You see, people, if we're not careful, can cause us to miss heaven. But people think, well, these are my friends. Folks, if your friends aren't making you better, if they're not helping you on your way to heaven, they're not really your friends. Because friends bring out the best in one another. They help us reach our goals. And that greatest goal is that heavenly home. Don't miss heaven because of people. You know, in 1 Kings chapter 11, verses 3 and 4, we read about Solomon, a man who had 1,000 women, 700 wives, 300 concubines. The Bible is going to tell us, and his wives turned away his heart. For it came to pass when Solomon was old that his wives turned away his heart after other gods. How many people are going to lose their souls because they followed after a spouse who led them away from the Lord, led them away from his church? Remember what I tell you all the time about marriage? You marry someone who's going to help you get to heaven. Not someone who's going to hinder you. Not someone who's going to pull you away. But it happens so often. Happens so often. Oh, but I love her. Oh, but I love him. Yeah. And evidently you love them more than you love the Lord. And it will cost you your soul. Folks, don't let people cause you to miss heaven. I know I shared this with you years ago, but act like you haven't heard it. When I was in Costa Rica the very first time, my interpreter was a man by the name of Joaquin Rojos. I got to spend a lot of time with Joaquin, preacher of the gospel. And as we were talking one afternoon, he said, "Tim, how did you become a Christian?" And so I told him. He said, "Would you like to hear how I became a Christian?" I said, "Sure." He said, "Well, I was a member of this group called the Jehovah's Witness. And I was working on a cruise ship. Costa Rica, a lot of people, the ships port there, you know. And he worked on getting those things cleaned up, getting them ready to go to the next place. So he said, "I had a friend that was a member of the Church of Christ. And we would talk about the Bible." And he said, he would share things from the Bible, and I knew those weren't right, so I would go home and study so I could prove him wrong. And what he was saying to me was actually what the Bible said. He was right. And so after a few weeks of this, he said, "I went to my wife." He'd been married for 2 weeks. He said, "I went to my wife, and I told her I'm going to be baptized." He said, "She told me, 'Joaquin, if you are baptized, I'm leaving you.'" I said, "Joaquin, what did you say?" He said, "I told her, 'The last time I checked, my Bible tells me Jesus Christ died for me, not you. And I was baptized.'" Now, I'm glad to tell you, she did not leave him. And about a month later, she was baptized into Christ. And they have been faithful Christians ever since, raised faithful children. But I just think about that from time to time. The last time I checked, my Bible says Jesus Christ died for me, not you. Folks, don't miss heaven because of people. Don't let anyone cost you your soul. A second thing that we need to be on guard against that can cause us to miss heaven, that can cause us to lose our very souls, is the idea of possessions. Have you ever wondered how many people are going to find themselves in that place prepared for the devil and his angels, all because of money? All because of things. You know, in Luke chapter 12 and verse 15, Jesus is going to say, "Take heed and beware of covetousness, for a man's life consisteth not in the abundance of the things which he possesseth." Do you remember who he said that to? There was a man who came to him and said, "Lord, make my brother divide the inheritance with me." Evidently, it was a younger brother. And back then, the older brother, the eldest, got a double portion. So if it was just them, those two, well, then the older brother would get 2/3 of the inheritance, and the younger just 1/3, and this one, he wanted half. "Make him divide it with me." Well, Jesus says, "I'm not a divider. I'm not a judge in these kind of things." And then he says this, "Beware, take heed, for a man's life consisteth not of the abundance of the things which he possesseth." I think about those kind of situations. You want to see some vultures? You let someone die, and you see a family that's consumed with covetousness. Oh, they can't wait to get those things. I have friends who are morticians. They've told me about knockdown dragouts that have happened in the funeral homes. Over money. Over mama's things or daddy's things or whatever it is. I just got to have it. Just want it. More and more. Man's life doesn't consist of the things which he possesses. And yet, How many people are living their lives that way? Thinking that is what life is all about. That a man's life does consist of what he possesses. You know, 1 Timothy chapter 6, verses 6 on through verse 12, Paul's going to write some instructions here about dealing with wealth and the attitude that we need to have toward possessions. He would say, but godliness with contentment is great gain. For we brought nothing into this world, and it is certain we can carry nothing out. We all know that. We just need to start living with that knowledge. And having food and raiment, let us be there with content. But they that will be rich, it's all about this attitude. Covetousness, the love of money. We need money in this life. I understand that. We need to be good stewards of what God has given us. But we need to have the right attitude toward it. And here are those who will be rich. That's their great desire. They fall into temptation and a snare, and a many foolish and hurtful lusts, which drown men in destruction and perdition. For the love of money is the root of all evil, which while some coveted after, they have erred from the faith and pierced themselves through with many sorrows. Paul says there are people who are going to miss heaven. They've lost their faith because of possessions, because of material things. So he says in verse 11, but thou, O man of God, flee these things. Don't let that covetousness be a part of your life. And follow after righteousness, godliness, faith, love, patience, and meekness. Fight the good fight of faith. Lay hold on eternal life. That's the goal. Not who can accumulate the most stuff. The goal is eternal life. You know, we sit around sometimes wondering, how can I make a little bit more money? You know, what can I do? What can we do as a family, as a couple? What can we do to make more money? Anybody ever sit around and say, what can I do to become more righteous? What can I do to increase my faith? What can I do? What can we do to become a more loving family? And yet Paul says, these are the things that we are to seek after. Don't lose your soul over money. Matthew 16 and verse 26. For what is a man profited if he shall gain the whole world and lose his own soul? Or what shall a man give in exchange for his soul? It'd be awful to come to the end of one's life, to be able to say, I had fine houses, fine cars, fine clothes, fine food, but I had a soul that was unprepared. Unprepared to meet God. Folks, don't lose your soul over people or over possessions. Then here's this third thing. Priorities. Priorities. If we don't get this right, it can cause us to lose our souls. I know that we're all familiar with Matthew 6 and verse 33. But seek ye first the kingdom of God and His righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto you. There's no doubt we understand that. We sing that sometimes. Are we living it? That's the only question. I know it. I know God is supposed to come first. I know that I am to seek the kingdom first. Am I doing it? And each of us, myself included, we each need to be examining ourselves daily and asking, do I have my priorities right? Am I seeking first the kingdom of God and His righteousness? You know, in Luke chapter 9, verse 57 beginning, Jesus gives an account of His encounters with three individuals. And the whole point of this section is the matter of priorities. And so He begins and says, and it came to pass that as they went in the way, a certain man said unto Him, Lord, I will follow Thee whithersoever Thou goest. Jesus said unto him, foxes have holes, and birds of the air have nests, but the Son of Man hath not where to lay His head. You know, the only thing we ever read of Jesus owning was the garments that the soldiers split among them, the ones that they gambled for. He said, I don't have a place to lay my head. Evidently, the man did not follow. Verse 59 says, and he said unto another, follow me. But he said, Lord, suffer me first to go and bury my father. Jesus said unto him, let the dead bury their dead, but go thou and preach the kingdom of God. I know that that seems severe to us, but it just emphasizes how important following after Christ truly is. He must come first. And another said, Lord, I will follow Thee, but let me first go bid them farewell which are at home at my house. And Jesus said unto him, no man, having put his hand to the plow and looking back, is fit for the kingdom of God. You see, Jesus emphasizes to us, if you're going to follow me, you have to do it all the way. I have to come first. And we show that, not just with our words, but with the way that we choose to live our lives. Over in New Philadelphia, there was a couple who I always thought is old. They had grandkids. Now I've got them. But they had these grandchildren. They doted on them. I've never seen grandparents like them that went to every event those kids were involved in. It didn't matter if it was a peewee soccer game or some kind of piano recital or a cross-country meet or a play or whatever it was, they were going to be there. Folks, those things are brutal. You ever go to some of those? Tammy, this week at her elementary school, they had a talent show. She wanted me to go to that. I didn't, but she did. If you don't know someone that's there, that's brutal. It didn't matter. They would be there. You know why? Those kids are my priority. I want those grandkids to know they matter to me more than anything. Now I'm a grandparent and I make trips to Tennessee to go watch a 4-year-old play t-ball. Well, I didn't even get to watch the whole game. He hurt himself in the dugout. But why do you do things like that? It's because we love them. And we want them to know they're a priority to us. You see, it's seen not just in words, we love you. No, it's in our deeds, in our actions. And folks, here we are today in worship. And worship is really a way of saying to God, I love you. We love you. But when we leave from here, What do our actions say? Our priorities. Are we going to allow anything to come between us and God? Us and our worship to God? Us and our service to God? You know, it's going to be seen in the way that we speak, the way that we think, the way that we act, the way that we worship, the way that we come, the way that we give, the way that we are for Him. Don't miss heaven because you let something become more important to you than the Lord and His kingdom. I don't want to miss heaven. And I know that you don't either. That's why you're here today. But there are dangers that we need to be aware of. Things that can cause us to miss heaven. Things that can cause us to lose our souls. And we're warned about them in Scripture. Don't let any person, no matter how much we love them, don't let them lead us away from the Lord or keep us from obeying Him. And possessions, let's make sure we keep the right attitude toward them. Don't miss heaven over money, over things. And priorities. Let's make sure we've got them right. That God's first. The kingdom is first. Our Lord comes before everything else. If I mention the date of April 15th, of 1912, you might remember that's the day that the Titanic went down. There were a lot of souls that were lost. Shortly after the sinking of the Titanic, there became a kind of a makeshift club that people became members of. They called it the Just Missed It Club. And it included those who were supposed to be on the Titanic, but for some reason had just missed it. Now, by 5 days after the sinking of the Titanic, a newspaper in Michigan reported that 6,904 people claimed they were supposed to be on the Titanic, but they had just missed it. Now, the Titanic, you'd have to have about two or three others for all that number to have gotten on there. So evidently some of them weren't being truthful. But there were people who had just missed it. Mr. Marconi, an inventor, the one who invented the wireless telegraph, was supposed to be on the Titanic, but for some reason he took another vessel. There was a Vanderbilt that was supposed to be on there. He had missed it. There was a man by the name of J.P. Chase that was supposed to be on the Titanic, but he had gotten on another vessel because of business. Mr. Hershey, yes, the one with the candy bars, was supposed to be on the Titanic, he and his wife. But for some reason, they weren't able to make it and took another vessel. They had just missed it. When it comes to the Titanic, that'd be a pretty good club to be a part of, right? The Just Missed It Club. I mean, that's the one that I would want to be in. But folks, when it comes to heaven, that's a club I want no part of. And the Lord doesn't want you to be in the club that just missed it. Wouldn't that be awful? Throughout all eternity to know that Sunday, November 20th of 2022, I was there when that preacher, he gave us that warning from God's Word. And he even talked about that club, the Just Missed It Club. And I didn't do anything about it. My friends, you don't want to be in the Just Missed It Club when it comes to heaven. And so this morning, if you're here and you're not yet a Christian, don't you let anything cause you to miss heaven. If you need to obey the gospel, you take that step this very day. As a believer in Christ, you repent of your sins and you confess him before men and you put him on in baptism so that your sins can be washed away by the blood of the Lamb. And if you're here as one who has obeyed but you've fallen away and you know you need to come back, you take that step today. My friends, it's heaven's invitation. It is given to all, and if you're subject in any way, please come as together we stand and sing.